button working? Okay.
There is nothing
welcome to the City of Goleta's Parks and Recreation Commission meeting for Wednesday, August 23rd. We welcome everyone who's here and who is watching at home on TV. So we are going to call our meeting to order and say the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, we're going to start the evening off with our presentation under A1.
May I do the roll call first?
Of course you may.
Okay. Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner McGulpin?
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Here.
Commissioner Talese?
Here.
Commissioner Warner?
Present.
Vice Chair Lynn?
Here.
Chair West.
Here. All right. Now we're going to have that presentation by Joanne Plummer, our Parks and Recreation Manager. And she's going to give a report on activities and programs at the Page Youth Center.
And I just want to note for the record, I do not have any public forum slips.
Okay, so tonight we have Tim Grigsby. He is the program director for the Page Youth Center, and he's here tonight for a few reasons. As you know, in our CIP list, looking out into the future, one of the elements that we are looking at constructing is a gymnasium that would also serve as a multi-purpose center. So Tim is here to share the types of programs and services offered at the Page Youth Center, as well as share some of the operational costs and some of the challenges that they've had. In addition, he's going to share with you how many people in Goleta are currently utilizing that facility. So it's a pretty significant number. And so with that being said, Tim?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. Yes, I'm Tim Grigsby, the program director at the Page Youth Center. So I'm going to be sharing with you this evening about our programs, about our operations, and then finish up with scholarships and a special event that we're going to be hosting next month. If you haven't been there recently, we just redid our floors. It was long overdue, and they're gorgeous, as you can see in the picture. And it was done by a generous grant from the TUI Foundation. So I'd like to say thank you to the TUI Foundation here. But come on out, take a look. It's gorgeous, and just stop by there on the way over here. Kids practicing. It's filled up and a lot of good stuff happening. All right, so broken down to our programs from youth programs and adult programs. So with our youth programs, our largest program is our Winter Basketball League. We serve first through eighth grade. We have around 750 kids, give or take, depending on the year. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and registration has begun now for the next league that starts in December. The deadline to register would be October 15th before waitlist. We also have something new that we're going to be starting up. We just started a new partnership with Yoga Futsal Santa Barbara. So if you're not familiar with futsal, you might be familiar with indoor soccer. So it's a type of indoor soccer. It's the type that you're not kicking it against the walls. It's a more controlled type of sport. So we're going to be doing that in the winter. Registrations actually started yesterday. And so that league will be happening on Sundays during our winter basketball league. So so our weekends are going to be filled up and happening at the Page Center. Yeah, we're really excited about the new partnership. They've been working on their own with no home, and so they've been renting space out in different gyms. They're a really good program, and we decided that it'd be best for both programs to join forces and work together. So we're happy to be the new home for Joga Futsal Santa Barbara. In addition to our leagues, we also do seasonal clinics and camps. So right now we're gearing up for our fall clinic season. It's a 6-week program that happens either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, depending on which program it is, from 3:45 to 5. So it's an after-school program, and we work with grades 2nd through 8th. So we do girls basketball on Tuesdays. We do co-ed volleyball on Wednesdays. And we also have a boys basketball on Thursdays. We also work with SB SNAP, which is a special needs assisted group that participates. They do basketball programs on Tuesday afternoon alongside the girls program. So we've got two courts, and so one on one side, one on the other. Our summer camps are more condensed. So it's a 1 week long, 9 a.m. to noon program that we do usually during July, June, July, and sometimes into August. So we do this summer, because of the gym being closed down for the entire month of June, we had to shrink down a little bit. So we had basketball for the younger kids. We had basketball for the 5th through 8th grade kids. And then we had indoor soccer. And also we had, or those were the three that we had. Normally we would also have volleyball on top of that. Another program that we have that's a year-round program is our club basketball team. Some of you may be aware of our Page Youth Center Vipers, and we serve, they just got into third grade, so we had some second graders for a while, but now it's third grade through eighth grade, and they practice, depending on the age, they practice either once or twice a week. And then, depending on the time of year, they'll play one or two weekend tournaments, either locally or it's really kind of Southern California range. At least half of them are local, and then they range a bit. In that program, we have around 100 kids. It's always a moving target because of other sports in season, so kids will take a sabbatical for a season. So they're in, they're out, but right around 100 kids for our Vipers program. So, and then for our adult programs, we have a range of adult programs as well. So we have our co-ed basketball league, and we have spring and summer leagues. Unfortunately, we couldn't do the summer league this season because we're redoing the floors. But when spring season comes around, they'll be pretty happy. We have open gym, so they've been out there for that. But for the adult basketball league, spring season will be the next one. Registrations will start in January. We have A division, which is the high level, and a B division also. It's co-ed. And they're Tuesday and Thursday evenings, depending on which division it is. Like I said, the registration will start in January. All our registrations can be done at our website at www.pageyouthcenter.org. Just launched a new website while the gym was closed, getting the resurface, had some time to rebuild a website that's going to be better for all involved. And then kicked off on Tuesday is our adult co-ed futsal league. So that kicked off yesterday, Tuesday. And so those will be going on Tuesday evenings starting now until middle of October. So if you're looking to watch some competitive futsal, like, I want to know what futsal is, come by Tuesday evenings and you'll check out some good matches. In addition to the leagues, we also have adult fitness programs that we house at the center. So Jazzercise is very active, and if you are interested at all, I highly recommend going down there. There's a lot of folks down there having a good time. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday mornings. The times vary just a little bit, so you can go on our website and check out to make sure that you got the right times for the day that you want to go. There's also badminton that happens Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon. And there's some serious competitive players. We've got lines painted on the court, so it's official. There's some legitimate badminton players over there, so I recommend checking it out. Also ping pong. We got ping pong on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 11:30 in the mornings. And then, like I was talking about before, open gym is typically Monday through Friday around 12 to 3, give or take. If you check the website just to make sure on our weekly schedule, sometimes folks do rent out the gym during those times. But for the most part, it's Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 in the afternoon. And it's a $5 fee for the open gym per day. All right, so those are the programs. Quick look at the programs, and then we'll look at the operations now. So our budget, annual budget, we have a $600,000 budget for the year, and 60 to 70% of that is fee generated. So from our programs, we collect, it's 60 to 70% of our budget comes from that. We have the remainder of that coming from special events, fundraisers, and grants. We do not receive any city, county, state, or federal subsidies. Pardon me. Our utilities run us about $25,000 a year for costs, and that's about the same amount for our general maintenance. Obviously, this year was a little different with the floors, but typically it would be $25,000 a year. We own the building and we lease it from the county. So for who do we service? We service Goleta, Santa Barbara, Montecito, Summerlin, Carpinteria, and San Ynez. Maybe even more. There could be some folks sneaking in from outside of there as well. But 20 to 22% of that are Goleta residents. And 50% are from the unincorporated area. So it's, you know, the lion's share are right in our backyard. Scholarships, we award around $50,000 in scholarships a year. It's based on financial circumstances and family need. 30% on average of the scholarships awarded go to Goleta residents. And scholarship applications are available on our website. For our scholarships, you do the application online, and then you provide us with documentation in terms of the recent tax returns for proof of financial. So you can see here, is this another way to look at it? If you're more of a inclined to images. So you can see the 50% of the scholarships or residents serve in the unincorporated area. We got 30% Goleta and then 20% from the rest of the pie. So earlier when I kicked off, I said we had a special event that we were going to be hosting in September, and this is something we're really excited about. We've been in communication with the folks at the Cottage Clinic, or Cottage Concussion Clinic, and they're going to be hosting an event at our site. It's a panel discussion on what to know as parents and coaches in terms of concussions. As we all know, it's become more and more a part of youth sports, and it should be. Before, I know, growing up, if you got your bell rung, it was, all right, shake it off, get back in there. And we're learning that that's not exactly the right way to go about it. And so we're really fortunate to have the Cottage Concussion Clinic come out and do the panel discussion with us. And they're going to be letting us know about what to do, how to treat it. And also, they're going to let the folks know that they're available, so if there is a possible concussion, they have the services there free of charge for our folks. And I think it's an underutilized service, and so they're trying hard to get the word out that it's there. And we want to protect the kids, and we also want to make sure that we know how to protect the kids. So I encourage anyone that's interested in the subject, please come out. It's Tuesday, September 12th from 6 to 7:30, free admission, but they do ask that you register on their website. And there's going to be refreshments and some giveaways as well. I think I ran through the presentation and give you guys some time for some questions if you had any. But thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Sherry Hedges. I'm part of the original.
Excuse me, sir. We're going to ask you to fill out a request to speak form.
I did. But it was for the third item in the agenda. I didn't know I couldn't ask questions here.
Yes, you also do need, please, a speaker slip. And follow the procedure, please. So I saw Commissioner Talese had his hand up. Would you like to go ahead with the question?
I'd like to ask you this. How often do y'all have these kind of clinics at center?
So we have fall and spring. Because in the winter we have our winter basketball league, which is all the time. And then in the summer we have the summer camps. So essentially the same thing, just packaged a little bit differently. So spring, summer, and fall, we hold these developmental camps and clinics.
Thank you. Commissioner Wiener?
Werner? That's okay.
Excuse me.
I have three questions.
Uh-huh.
One is the after-school program that you have. Do you have transportation that goes to the elementary schools in the area and picks the kids up and brings them there?
No.
I know I see the Goleta Boys and Girls Club vans around.
Yeah, no, we don't have transportation that goes, picks up kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious. My second question, the adult programs, you mentioned it was $5 per day for the open gym.
Right.
And are there fees for the jazzercise, badminton, and the ping pong?
Yeah, so those get organized through those classes, and I think they're somewhere around $5 for the jazzercise. No.
I'm one of your four mornings a week, and the floor is gorgeous. And there are, if you walk in, it's $15 a class, and then there's a monthly fee of $60, which actually goes to jazzercise directly.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then I just had a question about the scholarships. Is that $50,000 part of your overall budget, the $600,000 budget, or is that a separate fund that you have for scholarships?
That's a good question. I don't know with my knowledge of it. That wasn't given to me, but... But I can email you back and
yeah,
let
I was
you know.
Curious yeah. if you had separate yeah. fundraising just for scholarships, or if that comes out of your overall budget. And then finally, I just wanted to mention that I got the flyer in the mail for the concussion clinic.
Nice.
So it looks familiar. I was just looking at it today.
Perfect. Hope Thanks. To see you there.
Okay. Do we have Commissioner McLaughlin?
I have a couple of things. Uh-huh. First off, I go to open gym volleyball. I
have done your after-school volleyball clinics as one of the instructors. I've done the summer volleyball camps. They're great. Kids love it. And I appreciate the fact that it's co-ed, too, because I think it's important to bridge all of the people. My question would be, if City of Goleta were to build such a facility, is there really enough clients in this small area that we live in to make it so two entities can function under, you know, and I don't know if this is a question for you, but we don't want to steal clients from you, of course, but is there enough people in this community that we really need our own gym? So I don't know if that's your question, but I'm
It would certainly compete, but I don't know the numbers. I wouldn't be able to answer adequately for that question specifically.
And Tim, I'll go ahead and jump in. Commissioner McGulpin, when there are multiple facilities that have similar opportunities, a city and a nonprofit organization would typically work together to see how we can maximize the opportunities for our citizens. So if Tim is running specifically a strong competitive program, then we may look at just a recreation program. And again, with Boys and Girls Club YMCAs, everybody, Tim is part of our Youth and Family Services Roundtable. So we meet on a quarterly basis and have discussions. And as our facility evolves and we go into development, we'll be working with Tim and asking him, as well as other facilities, you know, some pros and cons, what works, what doesn't work, and get their input as well, because we're all here to service our community members, and we are not in any kind of business to compete with any of our nonprofits, so we want to work together to maximize opportunities.
Commissioner Hart.
Thank you. I had the benefit of enjoying your facility for a number of years long ago when my kids were young and I was coaching basketball, and so I'm really thrilled to hear that the facility is getting a refresh. I think it needed it back then. I'm not sure if it happened in between.
Still more to go.
Yeah. Well, good. I also have a question about the Goleta participation. You mentioned it's 20% to 22% Goleta residents. Mm-hmm. Is that typically the norm? Do we have a history of that, or is that low or high? Which way is it trending is what I'm curious about.
Unfortunately, I don't have the trend lines on this.
Just your instincts, though?
I've been with the organization for a year this week, so it's hard for me to say exactly.
And is there any outreach that you do to make the community aware of, like Open Gym and those kinds of things?
So we have our social media platforms. Then we also will run ads in different local publications. And then we've also been doing some work with reaching out to other programs, other nonprofits like the Goleta Boys and Girls Club. We've partnered with in our summer camps and brought some of their kids in to participate in the programs. And we're going to be doing the same for our fall clinics. We're also in talks with with CADA's mentorship program, if you're aware of that one. They are working with getting mentors with youth that could use some support, and so we're in talks with them to get those folks into our programs as well. So these are some of the things that we're working on as well.
Nothing to the schools?
Well, we work with the schools in especially Goleta schools for our practice locations. So, and thank you to Goleta Union School District for being a partner on that. We work with them for our practice locations for our winter league.
Well, thank you. And again, I think you guys do an amazing job. I was surprised that your budget's only $600K. It's really an efficient organization if you get all that you get done with that amount of money. So kudos. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Tolis, I show your light is still on. Did you have another question? Great. Go up for it. Okay.
Hi. So
you go for it, Commissioner Tolis, and then Commissioner Rodriguez.
Okay, so yeah, I definitely am glad that you came and really just kind of put it out there for others, just because I definitely firmly believe in the importance of athletics, especially in youth, so that way they can, I guess, develop as people. And I definitely, like Commissioner Hart said, I'm very amazed how, like, you're able to, like, do so much, you know, with the money you have, as well as offer scholarships and all that, those good things. And I want to ask about the unincorporated and other sections, I guess, of residents served, because it's only labeled for Goleta. So which one is Santa Barbara, and, like, what's the other areas you serve, I guess?
Let's see. So the other areas would be Montecito, Carpinteria, Solvang, Summerlin. Did I say that one too? Those are the other areas served. Go to. Right. San Ynez, Carpinteria, Summerlin, Montecito, and Santa Barbara would be the other areas outside of the unincorporated and Goleta.
And I also want to ask about the cottage concussion clinic. So how often do y'all have these specific type of clinics? And if, like, there's, I guess, good, I guess there's a good amount of people that come, we have more, like, let's say, introduction to, I guess, youth weightlifting. So that way you can inform parents about these kind of, I guess, things that athletes will come about.
That's a great question. This is a new event. We haven't held this before. We started talking with the folks at the Cottage Concussion Clinic a month or two ago to get this going. So it's new, but it's something that we want to keep having events similar to this. So if you all have interest in programs similar to this, maybe youth weightlifting, feel free to send them my way, and we'll try to make something happen.
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Thank you. I, too, have benefited from your facility. I play for the Mission City Brawling Buddies.
Oh, yeah.
So we're sad we don't get to have that indoor accommodation anymore, but thank you for all those years. My question is, looking at the hours for the adult programming, what is your attendance like? Because when you mentioned the hours, I was like, great, I'm working during that time. So what is your attendance like?
Well, it really depends on the program. Jazzercise, there's 30 a session at least.
At least.
At least, right? And so they fill up a whole court. You know, we got badminton, say, on average, about 10 players. And then ping pong, probably six or so a session. And then when you, if you're talking about the leagues, then, you know, there's 20 per game or so, 20 players per game, and then the folks that come out and cheer them on as well. Mm-hmm. So it gets busy in the evenings for the league stuff, yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Vice Chair Lynn.
Thank you. I had a couple questions on the actual numbers. For Goleta residents, the kids and the adults are the total, not individual programs, but just the actual, not percentage.
Mm-hmm. I don't have those numbers broken down specifically, kids and adults, but it's the majority of our folks are kids, so it won't change the numbers significantly from what I've presented.
So what's the number, the actual number of people?
The actual number of people? So, you know, I don't have the total number with me, but I can get that to you. I apologize for that.
Okay, because then we'd like maybe the actual number of Goleta and then your total of everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have two questions, please. I wanted to ask an update about the sinkhole. What is happening with that sinkhole there?
So I'm not the best person to ask about that. I'm the program's director, so. But I do know that it's an ongoing process of trying to get that fixed. There's different organizations involved. As you know, the property that we sit on is three different organizations. So it's the Page Youth Center. It's also the Goleta Valley South Little League and the food bank. We all share that property. And then it's county property. So we're all working together, insurance companies, different agencies working to try to make sure that thing gets fixed as soon as possible. Sorry, I couldn't give you more information about that, but yeah, outside of my scope.
I can only imagine the difficulty there. Yeah. And then my last question was, I'm lucky enough to go to your Hungry Bowls event. I was wondering if maybe you could take a moment to tell everybody about that. It's such a wonderful event you host for so many nonprofit and people in need in the community.
Well, that's a great question. So the Hungry Bowls event, which is a food bank event that is housed in Page Youth Center. So I don't want to get too much credit for us. We do have it in our center, but it's the food bank that puts it on, and they run the show for Hungry Bowls. And so I wouldn't want to attempt to steal their thunder for the great program that they're running there.
Do you know the date?
I don't know the date for the next one. Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
And we do have a question from Mr. Hedges.
No?
Yes, please.
Can you please step up to the microphone, Mr. Hedges? Yes, please. For the people.
All right, just going to take a moment. Is this okay from here?
It's great. Thank you.
My name is Derek Hedges. I'm here about pickleball. I'm one of the original pickleball players at Muni. But the reason I'm bringing this up now is because I was over at the Page Youth Center when we were just getting started. Several of the players from Muni came over here and were teaching some of the people who hung out at the Page Youth Center the game, and they all seemed like they enjoyed it. They pretty much picked it up quickly. So I scooted upstairs and tried to find somebody that was in charge and went back and forth several times, but the responses just diminished and diminished and diminished. We were sending people out there to help, but it seemed like there was a lack of interest. Was that the case? What was the case, please? Whatever you say, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And it's not a lack of interest for pickleball. From what I've was aware, that there wasn't there was a few different folks that came in would ask about getting pickleball started every so often, and then there wasn't the follow-up to schedule the court for the dates and run with it. We're definitely available. I remember seeing you guys out there, and it looked like a blast. And so I was surprised it didn't happen. But yeah, we're there and ready to do it.
Tim, what we can do is I can follow up with you, and if it's okay with you, Mr. Hedges, I can share your contact information with Tim so that the two of you can connect and talk about opportunities for exploration.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing all the information with us.
Well, thank you very much.
And now we will move on to our consent calendar, B1, approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes of June 28th, 2017. And Deborah Lopez, our city clerk, will.
Yes, in regard to the June 28th, 2017 meeting minutes, there has been a correction. It's on page 3. I've put that on the dais for all the commissioners and staff. It is under public speakers. It's for Dr. Ingeborg Cox. If I could read into the record, Dr. Ingeborg Cox raised concerns related to playground surfaces and playground equipment and their potential health effects on children, and suggested that warning signs need to be more prominent and in Spanish. Dr. Cox stated the support for option 3 of staff recommendation with additional outreach in the fall, and concluded by stating that at both workshops held previously, most participants preferred natural materials. That was a correction to the minutes, and if the commission
moves to approve, we'll go ahead and revise these and place these on the website.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you very much.
I second that.
Thank you. Commissioner Warner and Commissioner Hart. And we're going to vote on that. Call a vote on that, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 So thank you very much. All righty. I'm getting the hang of this. Maybe on the very last night, I'll really have it together. Okay, so we're moving on to C, our discussion item. That is C1, the Pickleball Pilot Program. That could be a tongue twister there. A pilot program first quarter report by our staff, Parks and Recreation Manager Joanne Plummer.
Thank you, Chair West. And commissioners, I am excited tonight to bring to you our first quarter report for our pickleball pilot program. And I dare you to say that 10 times fast. So just to summarize the report that's before you, a little bit of a background. The pickleball, the November 2nd, pickleball came before the Parks and Recreation Commission back in 2016. And there was a lot of information that was presented. And the commission had suggested and requested a one-year pilot program take place. So in December, we started working on that pilot program and what that would look like and ordering the supplies. And then we had some issues with the surfacing out at Evergreen Tennis Court. So before we put tape down, we wanted to make sure that the surface was acting in the manner in which it should. So that delayed the start of our one-year pilot program, but we did get started in April, and the pilot program kicked off. And in July of this year, we had two free pickleball workshops that were conducted. The pickleball workshops were part of our calendar for July as Parks and Recreation Month. One was on a weekday and one was on a Sunday. And we had players from the Santa Barbara courts came to facilitate two free workshops on July 19th and July 23rd. Each of those clinics had at least 10 new players. And one of those new players is sitting on the dais today. One of our volunteers had collected email information and has remained in contact with all of those interested players. And I'd like to thank Jerry, Steve, Derek, and Richard for all their time, enthusiasm, and energy for our clinics and for our residents. And, of course, Nanaki, she has been awesome. Since that time, we've had other seasoned players that have come to Goleta to assist our beginners and increase the level of play of pickleball in Goleta. So our pilot program started out as a one-year pilot. Participants were told, so because we can't be out at the courts all day long, participants were told to contact the city by email or phone, and they would call me. We also had an option for them to either email me directly or to email something a little bit easier to remember, which was goletapickleball@gmail.com. Our participation, as you can see, is broken down. In April, we got started. There was a lot of enthusiasm at 3.4 people per day. May declined a little bit. June kind of pushed back up a little bit. And then I know that's our first quarter right there. But then as you go down below the six pickleballs, you see July, we had about 1.6 people per day. And then August, since our workshops, the participation has boomed. And it was going through all the emails and all the phone calls. I did another synopsis last night just to capture everything for August. And there's a lot of calls or emails that I got that said, oh, we played today. And there was no amount of people or anything like that. And so I was recording all the days. So I even have some days in there that say they played, but there's no number in there. And that's calculated into that 4.3 people. So those are just the people that are reporting. So you can see, and we have an audience full tonight of pickleball players who are excited to be here. So I wanted to share with you that there was, when we did ask them to call or email us, we asked them how long that they played out at the courts, where they were coming from, what time of the day they were at the courts, and how many people they had with them. There was a strong commitment to inform us of the activity originated by Pat Richardson, and when she left the area for the summer, she'll be back this fall, she promised. Nanaki Elliott, who has taken it upon herself to organize time frames in which people can find her and other players at the courts. She has been fabulous. She's here tonight. And she has kept me in the email loop, so that's the only reason I know that all these are happening. She's saying, we'll be out there tomorrow at 10 a.m. or Thursday at 5. Come join us. Between Pat and Anarchy and many other enthusiastic pickleball players, they've built up quite a pickleball community here in Goleta. So the fiscal impacts to this pilot program is initially in March, it cost us $694.41 for labor and materials to get us started. The tape is faded and lifting and is in desperate need of reinstallation. Probably it should have been reinstalled about a month or so ago, at least. And then so because of the enthusiasm boost for pickleball and in talking with neighboring communities, they've seen the same kind of incline, a little bit of interest, and then it just skyrocketed. We looked into the cost of permanent striping, and the cost of permanent striping is $1,200. So it's important to note that our pilot program is currently expected to be 1 year. After 4 months of play, we already need to replace the tape. If we need to replace the tape again in another 4 months, and another 4 months after that, we're spending nearly $1,400 in labor and materials to continue this program, which, as you can see, is more than permanent striping. So staff recommendations is that we conclude the pilot program early, that we move forward with the installation of pickleball lines in a contrasting color on the courts, and our recommendation is to install one pickleball ball court per tennis court using the same net, the tennis net that's in place. We are looking at pulling up the tape that's currently there and then using the exact same format that we've been using before. The tennis nets can be lowered for use at 34 inches. Again, we're not looking at a competitive opportunity here. We're looking, well, competitive, yes, but not high-level competition. We're looking at recreational-based. So that's why we're proposing that, so that those courts can be available for both tennis and pickleball at all times. So I will share with you that I have received communications from many of the players, and they the communications I've received, they are recommending that we put two courts on one tennis court. The cost to stripe are the same with the addition of the purchase. I'm sorry. So the cost to stripe them are the same, but there is an additional cost to purchase and maintain portable nets. And the I actually have a pickleball player who has emailed me and offered to donate the cost to the, initially to purchase the portable nets. So how it's been explained to me is that the portable nets would be just pushed off to the side and locked to the fence, and then somebody will come and unlock those, and then they can have access to it. And it has been proposed to me that that's done by a volunteer. The city does not have resources to go out every day and unlock the nets and then monitor those nets and secure the nets, nor do we have funding to replace the nets should something happen to the nets. So I wanted to share that with you. And so I did a little bit of a pros and cons of the option. So if we did both courts, we always have both courts available for pickleball and for tennis. And there's no need to have a management plan to release and secure the portable nets on a daily basis. And there's no need to maintain and or replace additional equipment in the future. One of our biggest goals and our biggest concerns is where we have a great group of volunteers right now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, and if we have a group willing to go out there on a daily basis in the early morning and at the end of the day and make sure everything's okay, I think that they would right now because they're fabulous, but we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And if that were to go away, then we are stuck with two pickleball courts with no nets, and we wouldn't have those readily available for somebody that just showed up and found us that we had pickleball courts and went out there and they weren't unlocked. So if we did one court, we have one court that's prioritized for pickleball and one prioritized for tennis. Play could occur on three different courts simultaneously because we could have two pickleball courts and one tennis court. And then the fact, again, kudos to our current pickleball volunteers. They're willing to step up and help us with the management, and again, to the one person that even emailed and offered to pay for the new nets. So there was one more thing I wanted to share with you before we talk and before you listen to our public comment, is that it's important that the commission is aware that there are two other locations in Goleta that are currently looking at pickleball as an option. One is our very own Hollister Kellogg Park that has a multi-use court in its plan. And in addition, the community center is working towards a complete conversion of their tennis court to 3 pickleball courts. And as you may or may not remember, the tennis court at the Goleta Community Center is lighted, so that will expand use into the nighttime as well. And they have secured a small percentage of their funding needed, and they're working hard and diligently to identify the remaining funds. So that is in motion as well. So I wanted to make sure that you were aware that they're I'm hoping by the end of, you know, a year from now, we will see multiple pickleball courts all throughout Goleta. So based on what other communications are happening. And then again, before you go to the public comment, I wanted to share with you that we did receive written correspondence on Monday night at 11:19 p.m. from Michael Powers, a pickleball player. He emailed the city clerk and wanted to let you know that he supports the staff's recommendation. He recently started playing and notes that there are quite a number of new players. So I wanted to make sure that that was read into the record as well. I'm available if you have any questions or if you wanted to hear public comment first before you ask questions. It's up to you.
How would everyone like to proceed? Would you like to hear public comment first? Okay, so first on our list will be a Miss Elliott.
Oh, so Chair West and everyone here, I want to thank especially Joanne for her diligence and enthusiasm about pickleball. It's fairly new to me. I started in January in Arizona, and when I came back in April, voila, it was here. I did go to Muni, and I like Muni, but I also live in Goleta, and I want to support Goleta and help, you know, increase the enthusiasm of the sport here, and perhaps even, you know, with the youth programs. It's a game that you can pick up quickly. It's fast. It's fun. It doesn't have to be competitive. You can just do it in a recreational way. And I bet if any of you, all of you, I know Kathleen, who played or got on the court, you'd love it. It's an addictive kind of thing. But I also want to thank everyone here, too, our pickleball enthusiastic players here. But, yeah, I want Derek, of course, to speak. He will be, because he was one of the founders at Muni, and they over, I don't know, how many years was it, Derek?
We started in the beginning of 2015.
2015. I mean, that's not very long ago. And now they have these, was it 8, isn't it? 8 beautiful courts. And, you know, all levels of play. And I think we can have that here. I believe that there is enough enthusiasm and, as Joanne said, you know, it would be great if it was at GVCC and possibly, you know, the new park that might be going in Kellogg and Hollister, and there might be other locations that it could increase into. Until Jim Kaufman talked about it, and Derek also responded about the one court with the 2 pickleball courts. I really like the idea because, for one thing, you've got the tennis net as a backdrop and also the fence. And you can have, you know, 2 groups playing at the same time and leave the tennis court free. Right now, that court is wonderful and it's big, but we are chasing stuff all over the place. You know, the balls are just going all over the place. So it would be really nice to be able to contain it and also to allow, you know, a tennis court only to be used. So thank you, all of you, and especially
thank
Joanne.
You very much. And I have Ms. Hallbrook. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for putting on this pilot. I recently retired after 30 years with the county, and I had a lot of pent-up energy and didn't know what to do with myself. And I played tennis many years ago when I was in high school. So heard about this pilot and came out, and it is an easy game, but it doesn't have to be. It can be also very challenging and great form of exercise. But what I liked about it is that it's very inviting. It's very welcoming. The people are just very friendly. Somebody said yesterday, In tennis, you don't talk when you're playing, but in pickleball, you're just talking and you're just laughing at yourself and having a great time. And I can just see the value for our community, for those who are retired and up to 95. I mean, there's just really no age barriers. And I think it could just be a very welcome addition to our community. I know other communities such as Venice Beach, they have many beautiful courses or courts. And Manhattan Beach, they have pickleball in their adult education program. So we are behind the times. We're just getting it now. So if we have those opportunities to get actual pickleball courts, I really hope that you consider it, because I know once the word gets out and people start coming in, you know, build it and they will come. And I truly believe that pickleball. I am completely addicted. If I can't find someone to play with, I go to the elementary school and play against the board. My kid thinks I've gone nuts. So great exercise, great experience. It should be in the elementary schools as well. We had a teacher working out with us to teach our kids. So I just think this is the beginning and you're going to hear a lot more about it. So you are welcome to come to Evergreen. You would love it, like Nanecki said. Thanks to Joanne. Thanks to Nanecki for getting us all out there. And thanks for the pilot. Appreciate it much.
Thank you so much. Excuse me ahead of time for mispronouncing your name. Ron, C-R-O-U-C-K, Ron Cook. Can I just say one thing before you begin? I'm going to embarrass Commissioner Hart. I want you all to know that when he was the chair of the Parks and Recreation Commission, it was his vision to have all of this pickleball. So he was really adamant about bringing this. So that was before Miss Plummer was here, and he's a tennis player, and he just, you know, had this vision. So he gets a little kudos there. So welcome.
Yes, Chair West, Commissioners, my name is Ron Kronk, and thank you, Commissioner Hart, for getting it going. Actually, we were new to pickleball only because of the pilot, so we thank you, and I agree, it is addictive. We have enjoyed it at least twice a week whenever we're in town. Besides the size of the court, there is another distinction which has been mentioned between tennis and pickleball, and that's the height of the net. And so if you go with the proposed recommendation, I would add to the request that you secure the middle of the tennis nets, both secured eyes have pulled out of the courts there. So the nets are actually high for tennis right now, which is 2 inches higher than pickleball at the center of the court. And at the sidelines, the tennis posts are 42 inches, where pickleball is 36 inches at the sideline. To accommodate that difference, if in addition to the center eyes being, or whatever post is used, if two others were installed on the sideline of the pickleball court at the net so that it doesn't interfere with anyone's play, then with a simple luggage strap, you can easily pull the net down to 36 at the sideline and 34 at the center court. And we tried that the other day with some, you know, we jury-rigged it up, and it turned out to be quite a different game. And the people who visit from other locale, we hear it, oh, well, I would have made that if the net was the right height. And we hear about the net being the wrong height, and we're all newbies. We don't know any better, but we're starting to get the feel for it. So if the recommendation is supported with the addition of those eyes, we could really make some regulation playing surfaces and nets. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And our final speaker will be Mr. Hedges again.
So this means I'm out of here in 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hart, for helping us get started, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on our court any day now, because I know what a good tennis player you are, because I think we've played before. Some details. If we were to take one of the tennis courts, and put a pickleball court on each side that we could lock up at the end of the day. If we go to Pickleball Central, we can get a portable net for $250 each. And Pickleball Central has a return policy of 30 days, so if for some reason we don't like it, we can get our money back. When it comes to doing the lines, you have the cost to install the pickleball tape. It's a value that I don't understand because I've done it several times at Muni. And it takes maybe up to three layers of tape from a paint store on West Carrillo Street, and they're about $10 each. And I have put down lots of times and put it down lots of times, and I got people I play with who can pick up how to do it instantly. So I claim there's no problem there either. I talked with Nanaki and our founder, Jim Kaufman, just before I came over here, and we were talking about what we could do to make this better for the players and have more participation. And Joanne, I think you were talking about when we had four of our Muni players coming out there and running a clinic. And as a result, there was a good-sized turnout there. So I think that, as you said, the participation is pretty low. And I'll just acknowledge that some of that's my bad, because what I was talking about with Jim and with Nanaki is, you know, I've been playing for a while, I've got some experience, and I've got a first level and second level coaching clinic certificate. And right now, everybody's just getting up there and, you know, hitting the ball, and it's kind of like Brownian movement. So what I suggest that I do next time I'm out there on an afternoon would be to, you know, run a quick clinic first. You know, the usual stuff, watch the ball, bend your knees, that'll be $20, please. Here's how you serve, here's how you return, okay, you're off to a good start. And Kathy Colgin there has been out there helping us with that stuff too. I mean, she's really, really smooth, she's got great ball control, you know, and, you know, we've got an image just to copy, because your motor neurons are doing the same thing that the person who's hitting the ball correctly are doing. Okay, I'll go.
Thank you. That was not me, but thank you very much for coming tonight.
Who's the one to hook?
So now, commissioners, I welcome any questions to Ms. Plummer. Oh, is that Ms. Rodriguez? Commissioner Rodriguez? Okay, so Commissioner McLaughlin.
Thank you for coming. I am a pickleball player, too. I'm one of those volleyball players that plays down at Muni with Kathy Gregory and Kathy Hanley.
Well, we know them all well.
Yeah. So a couple of things for me. I know that down at Muni, you know, you have those beautiful courts. I'm just wondering how much that cost to get something as gorgeous as that. That would be question one. If you know the answer, that would be great. If not, maybe get that answer to Joanne.
Commissioner McGulpin, I've been in communications with Muni courts on construction costs, and the one of the largest costs is actually the installation of the net poles, because you have to drill the holes. So it all depends on how many nets you're doing, and if we want to look at something like that, we can definitely do some cost estimates, but we don't have those figures off the top of our head. We're just trying to go with the striping cost at this time.
Great. And then, you know, we do have an older population in the city of Goleta. So I definitely think that this is a sport that, you know, there's less running around, and doubles play is a lot more fun than singles in pickleball anyhow. Does Maravilla or any of those organizations with retirement centers have pickleball? And are we engaging those centers and those populations and getting those players to come out to play?
Commissioner McGulpin, great great opportunity right there in encapsulating our seniors to come out and play. And that's actually how we got started in kicking off our pilot project. Pat Richardson does a lot of the coordination of some of the activities at one of our facilities where seniors reside, and she actually would get a group to go out and start off. So in April, Pat actually really started right there, and there's definitely areas to expand, and I'm sure we'll explore those as well.
And then I've got some more questions. Because pickleball is a different way to score than tennis, have we ever thought about posting rules or scoring, or, you know, people don't even know what the kitchen is in pickleball? So, I mean, have we ever explored that in some form on the fences?
We have not, because it was just a pilot program. So if we actually do move forward with canceling or eliminating or terminating the pilot program and moving forward with permanent lines, then we will definitely be working with our avid volunteers here, our dedicated volunteers, to come up with some frequently asked questions that we can at least get on our website so people can find out some information, and then we can work with our public works department to see if there's any way to put some type of signage out there to help people. Because you are right, I learned a lot, and all I did is watch, and I watched the first part of both clinics, and they did try to get me out there and play, but I didn't play. But I definitely want to. So it does look like a lot of fun, and I'm extremely competitive, and I hit balls really hard, so I would be chasing them outside of the fence. So that is definitely something that we can look into.
And then one more question. Sorry to ask so many questions. I am an elementary school PE teacher as well, so I know Santa Barbara tennis patrons come out and help us facilitate tennis in our elementary schools, and I teach at El Camino. We do have pickleball paddles at El Camino. Have we ever thought about incorporating your organization into volunteering to come out into the PE programs, because it serves both needs? It gets you guys working back with the children, giving back, and it gets the children interested in a whole new sport that they've never heard of.
That's a fabulous idea. If you would like, I can go ahead and connect them with you.
You're in.
That's a great idea. I love that. I believe we're going to start with Commissioner Werner, and then we'll end up our questions with our vice chair.
Oh, okay, thank you. I guess I was trying to visualize how the portable tent nets would be placed on the existing tennis courts. There's two courts out there, and I was trying to figure out are the okay, there you go. So the pickleball nets are parallel to the tennis nets. And so that's what you meant by saying that the tennis net would be a backstop, and then the fence would be the other backstop for the pickleball players. Okay, that was my concern. I wasn't sure if it was parallel or perpendicular. So looking at the options, I guess it comes down to striping and making sure if we go with the two pickleball nets on the one court, it goes with the striping would be different than if it was striped on the one court. And so you're committed to having those portable nets out there, and you're committed to having someone lock them and unlock them every time someone wants to go out to use them. So I have a little bit of a concern with that, having someone actually out there. I like the idea of maximizing the use of one court. When I've gone out there during the scheduled times, there have been more than four players. Often there are eight players playing. So the four per day, I don't know if that was averaged then over 7 days. So when it's scheduled, there's more than four people out there playing. Just so you know, that's just an averaging issue. But if you stripe each of the courts individually, anyone can go out and play at any time. So I kind of, you know, I'm torn, and I'm wondering if we could have both stripe one court as a single pickleball court and have the other tennis court striped as a double, and if that would work. Then if someone went out, you know, late, or I guess there are no lights out there, but later in the day without the key or a password to unlock the portable nets, they could still play on the other court.
Commissioner Werner, and I appreciate your commitment to trying to be as flexible as you can for all the pickleball players. I really do appreciate that. What I do want to share with all of the commissioners is that this is an unbudgeted item. And while it's $1,200 to stripe the courts, whichever way we go, that $1,200 is currently being absorbed into the public works budget. And so that means we're using $1,200 that they had allocated for something else. So if we were to add another court and do one court by itself and then the other two courts, it'll be an additional $600. So it'd be about $1,800 to do that entire job, which we can go back and have those conversations with the Public Works Department. But I did want to make the commission aware that this is not budgeted, and anything that we do has to be absorbed into their current operational budget. And right now they said that they would rather pay $1,200 than pay their staff to go back out and lose those staff hours as well to re-put the tape up two more times.
Okay. Vice Chair Lynn.
Okay. We need a motion, right, on this? We'll need an motion. Okay. So I think I'd like to clarify a few things. Because it's a public facility, I think we should have whatever court we prepare now permanently should be open to the public on a permanent basis. So there were two options, one for kind of like the temporary net and that kind of thing. The other thing, to really just do it and get the money from Public Works. So that's where I'm leaning, and that's what I'm going to make a motion on. I just want to make sure I have this straight, the motion. The motion would say convert the tennis court to two permanent pickleball courts and one permanent tennis court. That would be part, the first part. The second would be approve $1,800 for the new courts and the nets, right? Is that going to be cover it? I know you have to go back to Public Works, but at least we have that going.
Sorry, for clarification, you're saying that you would like to see three pickleball courts painted at Evergreen, one using the tennis net, and then one using two portable nets.
No, just I think it was your second proposal up there that we keep one tennis court and convert one tennis.
So this one right here, the staff recommendation is that we put one pickleball court on each tennis court as is currently in the pilot.
No.
The second one is to do two courts on one tennis court with the use of portable nets.
No.
That's the only way we can do two on one and have one designated specifically for pickleball or priority as pickleball and one as priority of tennis would be the use of portable nets.
So we can't actually do like the Muni does, have a real permanent pickleball facility with two permanent nets and then have a regular court. It's not possible to do that.
That's not part of the recommendation, and the reason being is the cost to drill the additional holes to not have temporary nets but have permanent nets, and we have not discussed eliminating tennis. That would eliminate a complete tennis court, and we have not had the opportunity to notice our tennis community and make them aware of that as well. So, again, that's why the recommendation from staff is that the community has been really responsive, the pickleball community, extremely responsive to play. And the tennis community at first, when they heard about the pilot, they were communicating a little bit, but mostly about hypothetical concerns. And we have not had any issues that have been brought to my attention from the tennis community. If we're going to eliminate a tennis court, I would want to notice the tennis community in all fairness.
Well, just my thought is it's a public facility, and I don't know, having a volunteer, I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I just think if we really, I know pickleball is really going to take off. It's taking off everywhere else, and it just seems like if we want to put our money in to do it right the first time rather than we did a temporary, it's worked, people are starting to use it. If a court's available when they get there in the morning and they just use it, if you get there and the volunteer didn't show up to put the net, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like more hassle for you, and it's quite a bit of money. I realize what you're doing is kind of another transitional step. But personally, I'd like to see us really explore it more permanently. I think there's already, rather than come back next year and redo it again. That's just my personal kind of feeling about it.
Well, and to be honest, we probably would not come back to the site and restripe it because of the cost associated to having to resurface in order to restripe. Right. So if we were to go with whatever we go with is going to be what is going to live at Evergreen Park. So we do have other tennis courts in town, and there are, as I mentioned, two other pickleball opportunities coming in the future, and one being at one of our own facilities and then one being at the community center. They are real excited at the community center, and they will be eliminating tennis. So there is concern that I would have for the tennis community as a whole if they do lose the court at the Goleta Community Center, and then we took away a court from the tennis players, then that's a little bit alarming. The other thing is to make it permanent, as you're suggesting. That is additional cost, so that will exceed that $1,200 quote. The $1,200 quote is just for painting. So painting of two courts, doesn't matter how we lay them out, but painting of two courts is $1,200. And just for clarification, it does not fill in the kitchen, so it doesn't make the kitchen all solid. Those of you, see, I know my terms now.
Yes. Okay. Stay out of the kitchen.
Okay, Commissioner Hart.
Well, lots of great input and feedback. I'm just going to kind of go back and say that, when we originally had this pilot program, we really wanted to try to get a feel for it. And even though we do have a good response over the 3 months and I think a good sense of it, I do want to point out that there isn't absolute permanence to what we're doing here. And I like the second recommendation where we take the single court. I do think that the temporary nets are the way to go from a player standpoint. It is a sport that is growing. The people that are going to play it there are going to want to learn it on as official a court as can be. And I think that kind of gets the best of all worlds with the temporary net. I'm sorry, with the portable nets, not temporary nets, but with the portable nets that aren't anchored into the court. We still have options. It doesn't take away the tennis court. It does put additional striping on it, but I just think that's the most prudent way to go in terms of we're going through this transition. I also like to point out that, the Evergreen courts are serving an area of the community that's way out there. And I think that, yes, we'll probably have more pickleball courts and they will be more central to the population. But here's an opportunity. It's already got some legs, if you will, established some players out there and some expectations. So I do feel strongly about your second recommendation, and I think that's the way I'd like to see it go.
Thank you. And Commissioner Tallis?
I guess my question would be, since we only have a certain amount of money to work with right now, how long would it take? What would be a realistic timeline for us to, I guess, get some pickleball courts over here to the community center and to the Kellogg Park, yeah.
Commissioner Tolis, the pickleball court is included in the multi-use court that is in the design that the commission and the council have both approved. We're in the process of, you'll get an update on that park soon. But that time frame has not yet been determined of when that construction will take place. And at the Goleta Community Center, they are trying to secure funding for them. We are not looking at putting any funding towards it. All of our project that we're talking about tonight is specifically at Evergreen. I just wanted to bring those two points up to make sure that the commission is aware that we are recognizing that pickleball will be popping up in other places of the community.
Okay, now, Commissioner McLaughlin.
I guess then my question for you, Joanne, would be how many courts would be at Kellogg and how many courts would be at the Goleta Valley Community Center?
At the Goleta Community Center, it's confirmed that it would be three. And at the Hollister Kellogg Park, it will probably be at least two. I'm not quite sure of the exact square footage of that location, but we were looking at it today briefly, and it looks like at least two would fit, something similar to what the player recommendation is here.
Commissioner Warner.
Thank you. I guess I'm still going back to locking and unlocking these portable nets. And how many people do you see having the combination or a key? I mean, right now the pickleball community is, I get Nanette's emails and they're great. So I know they show up, 9 o'clock on, Monday or 9 o'clock tomorrow. But I guess I'm just thinking about the people in the community that want to go out and just play, get a couple of friends together and play, and they would be, not be able to play at all if it was just the portable nets, because the other court would not be striped. And so that's my concern. How many, I guess I can't visualize how it's going to work. How many keys are going to be out there? Who's going to have the keys? Is it a combination? And is there going to be a phone number?
I think that's
number?
A realistic concern, but I do realize that this process has been gone through at Muni, if I'm not mistaken, and they had that experience, and we can draw from that experience. So I share the concern, but let's cross that bridge. You know, let's give it a try. It has a track record. We have kind of a pilot of our own at Muni. I think we should at least consider that fact.
We have had our vice chair's light on. So, Vice Chair Lynn?
Oh,
Commissioner Lynn, your microphone's not on.
So, I agree with Commissioner Warner on concern for it. I just need to, maybe someone could say that it's worked before, or
yes.
It has worked. Okay, great. That's all I need to know, because I can't visualize that, but if it's worked before, I guess it's worked. Thanks.
Your microphone.
Oh, sorry. Would you like to come back up so the audience can hear you?
Oh, it's off. Great. Thank you. I'm listening to you guys describe what you want to do, and I think you've got the general idea, so that's good. But is this coming up to a vote soon? Mm-hmm. Aha. I would suggest that, to repeat what Greg said, at Muni we've done it and we have all the plans and all the costs and all the contractors. If we could just get that to you pretty darn quick, and I could do that by contacting our founder. Yeah, he's not a farmer, he's a founder. Jim Kaufman, I could try and get it to you really quickly, and then perhaps you could vote on that because it's something that already works.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the commission's not concerned that the two courts wouldn't work. Their concern is more related to how you facilitate the operation of a portable net. And if you don't have staff readily available at that facility to open it every morning and lock and secure them up at night and to make sure they don't wheel right out the gate and go down the street with some teenagers, how is that worth? That's the question I believe that the commissioners are asking, is how effective is the use of the portable net?
At Muni, we gave everybody the combination. They could get the courts out, put them up, put them away, lock them up. Everybody had the combination. We trusted them. They're pickleball players, after all. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Is that a goodbye?
Chair West, Commissioner McGolpin.
Yeah, they did have it. They weren't locked to the. They were at Muni. They were in a box, correct? So it was like something you buy at Osh. They open up, so it's not just like sitting attached to the net. Some teenager could come, scissor it off, and take it with. It was actually locked in a box, which made it a little bit more secure.
Yes.
Okay, and our final light is, there came another one. Commissioner Talis.
So I guess just to re-clarify, so anybody who showed interest, you just give them the password and then that's it?
Yes. It's all really, really simple. We've done it. And we wrote it up.
Commissioner Warner?
I do believe that pickleball players are very trustworthy. And the people I've met, I would have no problem giving them the combination or a key. I guess I keep going back to someone who wants to play after work, and they don't have a key, they don't have a combination, they can't play.
They will have the combination, they won't have a key.
Okay, if someone just wanted to go out and try it, like after work, and really wasn't yet in this community, of pickleball players. How do they get the combination? I guess that's what I'm struggling with.
We give the combination to people who have donated something, because that's where the money for all our courts came from. It was donations. And also there's a permit we have to have to play on the courts at Muni. So people who've donated and people who have a permit, they get the combination. Nobody else does.
Right. And in Goleta, it would be free. There would be no permit, right? There's no, you have to pay an annual fee to play at Muni, but in Goleta, the courts would be free. Anyone could walk on at any time.
But that did not answer your question. Your concern was this individual who was new, perhaps, and wanted to play.
Oh, well, if he, well, can then I, he can can't.
Nanaki, can you come up to the microphone?
The other court is striped now. So if, according to Derek, we could do it quite cheaply, is just restripe it. So you'd still have that other court to use with the striping that's on there. It wouldn't really cost that much just to do, to, you know, to have that done, or just leave it the way it is. It's not like it's falling apart totally. So you'd have, so people could come and play.
Thank you very much.
As far as the stripes go, there's a paint store on West Korea. You buy three rolls of tape, about $10 each. That's all it costs. And it stays for quite a while because we prepare the surface. We sweep it, and it lasts for a long time.
Thank you very much. And I believe our commission have no more lights on from anyone wanting to speak up here. And so is there a motion from anyone, any of our commissioners? So
I'm not sure we have a consensus.
Okay. Staff, if we do not have a consensus, what would you like of us tonight?
Well, if there is somebody that is comfortable making a motion, then you can have somebody make a motion, see if there's a second, and then vote, and that's how you'll find out if there's a consensus.
All right.
And then Director Adamidis has something to say.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, in light of the additional information that's been presented tonight and your desire to consider something that's not part of the staff's recommendation, we could continue this item, do some additional research, and return to you with additional information for you. And we'll have more in-depth research into it so we can answer some of the questions that have been raised tonight, particularly the logistical question about how those nets will, A, be secured. I think we've discovered how that will occur. But what we don't have a handle on is if somebody who's new to the area, coming to that location, wants access to the nets, how they will be able to unlock that. That's a logistical and operational question that I think in light of the popularity of this, staff would like to get it right and provide the commission with the recommendation that we have vetted and research so you can make an informed decision. Having said that, I think in light, I'm uncomfortable having the this decision in light of the information that's been presented. I think we need to do some additional homework, if that's okay, also with the players who are here tonight who have been very passionate about this. And this is really a milestone moment. Just listening how great this pickleball activity has been received by the community. Commissioner Hart had a great idea. There was collaboration in the community. We reached out to the community. We did outreach. We got feedback, and it resulted in an enhancement of a recreational opportunity for our residents. And so rather than making this decision in haste tonight, my recommendation to the commission would be, let us do some additional work, continue this item, and we'll return in October with some additional recommendations. If we could get it right, I would prefer to do that.
Just a show of heads, does that sound okay with everybody on the commission?
If we could get a recommendation on that, if you get to that point.
All right. How about, would anyone like to recommend what we just heard?
Hmm. My concern is that we've already mentioned that the tape is pulling up, that we've got issues. We don't meet for another 2 months. I mean, again, I'm supporting something that's not uniformly supported on the commission, but I would love to see us go with the second staff recommendation and work on the issues that might come from that. Again, we're talking about an issue with the nets is what I'm hearing is the only concern, and we have some history, we have ways to deal with it, and we can mitigate things. We're talking about this new player potentially. Any new player into any sport is going to have to learn the ropes, and one of the ropes is to how to get access to the nets. I don't see that as the reason to put the kibosh on this, but again, I may be alone in that opinion.
Commissioner Hart, just for clarification, staff's recommendation is different than the player recommendation. Staff's recommendation is written in your staff report, which was released last week. The player recommendation was something that came up since that staff report was released, so I wanted to make sure that the commission was
so
informed.
I'm sorry. So are we considering, though, I mean, could we consider the player recommendation tonight?
You could consider that if you wanted to, yes.
Well, I thought it was up there. I mean, this is the proposal that I am supporting.
Okay.
Okay, Commissioner Werner, did you have something?
I just wanted to, I am in support of this, and my concern was that this person walking on the court just for the first time, but thank you for reminding me that the other court is already striped, so that does not inhibit them from playing. And so with that understanding, so if I would be in support of this recommendation, the two portable nets on the one court with the striping, with the staff working out the details of how the portable courts are going to be locked and unlocked, I don't know if you would need the commission to get involved in those details. And then if someone does walk out, they do have that other court that is still striped so that they still can play. And I had forgotten about that, so thank
Commissioner
you.
Werner, the stripes are the temporary tape. So they could play tennis, the word striped for tennis, but if we're pulling up the pickleball tape that's faded and lifting, we'd be pulling up from both courts.
And I believe we have Vice Chair Lynn.
I kind of go with our director's recommendation that we look at this a little deeper. Muni is different. You do pay to use Muni. The Goleta has been where a kid could come with a pickleball paddle and play in the evening, that kind of thing. That's kind of my neighborhood experience, and I would like to make sure that can happen. I think municipal is great. It's a semi-professional and very well done, but we're still a kind of rural community, and I think our facilities, unless we start charging, should reflect that in the facilities availability, and to have, to get a box or a net somehow and have a code and all that. It's okay, but nobody's paying for any of this, and we don't have any staff to remediate any problems that come up. We have one staff person here. So it's really a different situation in Santa Barbara. This is what I would suggest from the pickleball community in Goleta, is if they want to really get involved with this and try to work this out in more of a permanent way, recognizing that we're not receiving funds from the community to put on this pickleball program, and that there is other players. Commissioner Werner's mentioned it several times, and I agree with that because I'm that kind of kid that went out on a tennis court and learned how to play tennis. I'm really concerned. So anyway, I think we should wait and let the staff work on this a little bit and maybe work with you too, realizing that we are freebies around here and we get all kinds of people and all kinds of economic conditions that maybe they don't even have a paddle. So maybe they come up with something, just playing around out there. So that's my recommendation. Let's go back to the director.
Thank you. And Commissioner Hart.
I'm just going to make the move to go with the player recommendation and get voted down, I would like to move that we go with the player recommendations with the two portable nets on the one court. I'd like to move that.
Do I have any seconds?
Well, I guess I have one more question. It does say down there, pickleball player offer to donate the cost of the portable nets. Is that they're offering to pay for both of them?
I received an email from a pickleball player that said that they were willing to pay $500, and the estimated cost is between $220 and $250 per net.
So I would second what Commissioner Hart just said there. If that's already paid for, I think we should go for it.
Okay. So now I need to have a vote, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're an aye. Okay, and I'm an aye. And those opposed?
No.
Okay, so we do have more yeses, and that will be what the commission is going with, our recommendation.
Okay, if we applaud now.
All righty, so for something that we thought was going to be rather quick, we kind of got embedded in that, but all for the better. So we are now going to move on to item D, project updates. Thank you all very much for coming.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, as promised at our last Commission meeting, we would be adding an agenda item to your agenda called Project Updates. At our last meeting, our director had given you our listing of all of the CIP projects that have been approved in this two-year budget cycle. So I just wanted to give you some touch points on a few projects and let you know where we're at. Hollister Kellogg Park, which is project numbers 9035 in our budget, that the right-hand number you'll see on each of these slides is the project number in case anybody needed to reference that. On July 18th, the final approved plan that you approved went before the City Council and was approved. In August of this year, our staff's been working with Van Atta and Associates to develop construction documents. So we met with our architect and went through some of the different things, and our next steps is we're looking at all the different amenities in there to determine exactly what's going in where in the park. We've been on a generic level to this point, and then we're hoping to be rolling. So as you may recall, we were down the road on this one, and then we had to make some adjustments because of water restrictions, so we're going back down the road. So this one is moving forward with the construction documents, and we'll keep you posted. Miscellaneous park improvements. The survey that we discussed at our last meeting, we had some hiccups with that, and it didn't get released until August 10th, but it has hit with a vengeance. The survey has gone to the Goleta superintendent and has been requested to distribute onto Parent Square, and it will be listed in the Monarch Press, which will go out on September 1st. And so far to date, we've had, actually as of yesterday morning, I haven't checked today, but there were 68 respondents, and which is fabulous, all in English except one in Spanish. The age group that they're addressing is pretty much all over the page, most of them wanting to do both age groups. The most popular amenity is a climbing structure. And what's really nice is I have anything unexpected, and there's really nothing that's unexpected in the results that we've seen, but just some things that have come up, that things we were talking about, like putting in shade on top of a play structure or maybe some shading over some picnic tables, and that's clearly a desire. And ironically, out of all the four parks that we're looking at right now, Berkeley has the most respondents, and Berkeley is the one that's visited more than any of the other parks to date. The Goleta Community Center improvements, you may have remembered from the budget process that there is some seismic retrofitting that needed to happen and some other improvements to bring the facility a little bit more up to date, not aesthetically, but operationally. And on August 4th, the city received notification that the Goleta Community Center is eligible for a hazard mitigation grant for the seismic retrofit project. So what that means is if we are awarded this grant, then our costs are significantly reduced because we only have to supply a 25% match. So that's very exciting.
Where is that coming from?
I don't recall off the top of my head, but it was, I believe it is a state grant, a FEMA grant. So very exciting news that we are eligible to apply. So not that we've received it, but our project is eligible for application. The improvements to the athletic field at the Goleta Community Center. The initial award that we received that I had emailed you was $279,191. We received unfortunate notification from the state that there was a calculation error and all awards across the state of California had to be adjusted. Our revised award was $269,234, so we lost almost $10,000. And we have received quotes for the design work by four different firms, and we are awaiting for the contract from the state at this point. We can't spend any money or even sign with a firm until we have a signed contract with the state. So as I've shared with Chair West and Vice Chair Lynn on numerous occasions, we're kind of at the hill ready to just run down it on numerous projects. We're getting so close. So those are the projects that I have updated for you for this meeting. And then if you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I just would like to share congratulations for the wonderful turnout you've had from people to give their input for park improvements. I think this commission, when we made the suggestions last time for the outreach and going to the schools, I really think you all acted on that. And I mean, already as of yesterday, and school just barely started, to have such a nice turnout response is great. I do not see any lights over here, so how about we move on to item number E, director's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the commission. As the PowerPoint comes up here, I have a number of just updates and some informational items to share with the commission. First off, for the Boys and Girls Club, during a tour of the Goleta Boys and Girls Club, it was discovered that the wooden play structure needed to be replaced. And staff worked with members of the Boys and Girls Club to provide them with information about the city's community development block grant opportunity. And through that process, they were able to apply for and receive grant funding, now totaling $73,259. We are awaiting final documents from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to move this item forward. Once we received these documents from HUD, we'll enter into a contract with the Boys and Girls Club for the completion of the repair of actually the replacement of the playground equipment and the installation of the new equipment there. So we're excited to see that happen. The next item, as you are aware, the city has a very active and involved CERT, a community emergency response team training program. We've had six classes taught to date so far this year, including one English and Spanish class with city employees. How many of you, just by a show of hands, have gone through the CERT training? Okay. Chair West? Excellent. We have conducted five community disaster education courses. Almost 300 individuals have been certified to date, which we're really proud of. September is Emergency Preparedness Month, and there will be a proclamation at the September 5th City Council meeting. And at that meeting, we'll also share with the community, as we are tonight, that we have a newsletter that will be up on our website. We will also have CERT volunteers at the upcoming Lemon Festival, so you'll be able to get additional information there. And we're also going to put out a calendar of events. So during the month of September, during each week, you can look up the various activities for the month of September to be prepared. Again, September is the National Preparedness Month, and so we would encourage all the residents in the city of Goleta to become better prepared for emergencies. And we have lots of opportunities for people to take training classes and really learn a lot about how to protect their families, their neighborhoods, and ultimately the community. The California Park and Recreation Society will be having the conference in March of next year, and you're going to be saying to me, it's only August, Vito, why are we talking about something in March? Well, the registration and the early bird deadline for registration begins in October. So we're pleased to report to the commission that there was funding provided by the city council in the budget for the commissioners to attend this important conference on the West Coast. It will be held at the Long Beach Convention Center from March 14th through 16th. I would encourage you to let Ms. Plummer know of your availability and attendance, and we will make the corresponding arrangements for that to happen. So it is exciting, and I believe this is another milestone moment where the commission has asked for the opportunity to attend conference to learn about what other cities and other jurisdictions are doing, to learn about trends and issues in the area of parks and recreation. And this is a great opportunity to fulfill that desire of the commission. As you may have heard also, the Elwood Mesa Trail closures have generated a lot of interest in the community. On September 5th, the City Council will be receiving a very detailed and comprehensive report addressing this issue, an important issue here in the community. That will be at 6 p.m. And also, there will be a special meeting on September 7th to gather additional information from the community, from the public, to obtain input on this issue. If you have not seen one of the presentations from the July 18th or the July 26th meeting, we would encourage you to do so. Since that time, there has been a great amount of work completed by staff and consultants to ensure that the City Council has the most current and accurate information. It's important to point out that on September 5th, the Council will hear this report with options on how to proceed. As I mentioned again, on September 7th, on Thursday at 5:30, the Council will have an additional meeting and make determinations on how to move forward on this important issue in the community. So what does this mean for the 2017 butterfly season? Until we really know what the Council action will be coming out of the September 5th meeting and the additional public input, we don't really have an answer yet at this point. Suffice to say that staff is also continuing to meet and explore with outdoor educators other opportunities that could have the opportunity to capture the interest and the activities that we've done previously. It's going to be difficult because depending on some of the options, the aggregation sites will not be as available as they have been in the past. So we're working very closely with all of the department teams that are involved in this effort and to be able to report back to the community as soon as we can on what the path forward will be. There has also been a lot of talk about what role the Parks and Recreation Commission will have in the habitat restoration process. That will be a council decision and will be an item to be discussed on September 5th as well as the September 7th. We would encourage the commission as well as members of the community to stay up to date on this important issue by checking the city's website. And also, you can register for updates on the city's website on this important item. The joint use agreements is one of the items that the commission has expressed an interest in. I think it was the day after our last commission meeting on June 29th, Ms. Plummer and I met with a representative from the Goleta Union School District, Mr. Conrad Tedeschi. And the timing was perfect because he had also identified areas that needed to be addressed that related to use at school facilities. Currently, there is a draft joint use agreement that is being routed internally. And once our legal team has had a chance to review that, we will forward this to the Goleta Union School District for their consideration and begin that important process of having that dialogue and ultimately ending up with a joint use agreement that the city and the school district can agree to, and also enhance another opportunity to enhance recreational opportunities for our citizens in the community. The last slide that we have on future agenda items will include a status of the capital improvement program projects. We have a number of them, as you were aware, in the last commission meeting that we had. We had a list of all the projects. We want to provide timely updates to you on all those projects, on where we're at. So you should be expecting to see that at the next agenda meeting, the next commission meeting that we have. We'll also have for you by that time an update on the Elwood Mesa project. And also, we're going to provide a status report on the multi-agency study on the effects of rubber use in artificial turf and in playgrounds, which has generated some interest also in the community. I wanted to also indicate that we'll provide additional updates on some of the items that were brought to you tonight. And I wanted to just lastly state that after tonight, there are two meetings remaining left in the year. I know that doesn't seem possible, but our next meeting will be October 25th on Wednesday, and also Wednesday, December 13th. So we will end the year certainly with a bang, and we'll have two good meetings with the commission and have are really looking forward to and have a lot to report back on. So this concludes my director's report. Be happy to answer any additional questions that you may have tonight. Thank you.
I do not see any commissioners wanting to speak. The only thing I would just like to share is I did attend the dam dinner last weekend, and it was just a huge, huge success. And I think all the staff from the city and all the wonderful volunteers should be applauded for how great they made that night for all the residents of the city. It was just wonderful, and it was a gorgeous night. And if no one else has anything to ask or share, I thank
you. One quick one. I wanted to say thank you on the joint use agreements. Another one of my pet peeves. Is that being circulated, that something that we could look at? You said that it was in a draft form.
So the internal review staff's approach on this was going to be to obtain and look at different draft use agreements that are already out there, so we're not reinventing the wheel, have the legal team review it, engage the school district, and obviously when that document is finalized and we have the opportunity to come back to the commission, we would certainly see that as an opportunity to also get, you know, your input.
Well, thank you all for this lovely evening, and we will see you in October. Thank you.
Now I've met Miss Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we're done, Miss Jones and I. Miss Jones and I. Miss Jones.